Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are, on Fridays here at LA Talk Radio, the most irreverent, interesting, and cool talk radio on the internet. The most listened to in the nation, by the way, too. Thank you all for joining me, and welcome to the couch. As always, I have a great show for you today, and it's going to help you with your relationships, and even more so with yourself. Learn how to look inside yourself. I know, hold on, it's going to be scary, but we're going to get through it, folks. We will. And I hope you read my social media blogs this morning and some of the information I put out there, because we're talking about an amazing book to help you with yourself, your relationships, and how to, you know, discover how to find healthier, for that matter, relationships, deeper, better, and, you know, work on yourself as well. So I invite you to call in if you like, if you have any questions. That's cool. 323-203-0815. That's Los Angeles. Don't be afraid. Here, we're here in L.A. 323-203-0815. And, of course, if you're shy and you don't want to get your voice on the air, it's cool. Give me a shout here. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. That is my email address hooked up right here to LA Talk Radio. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. And me and my special guest today are going to try and answer all the questions that you might have. So also what I'll be doing is giving you some information on how you can get in touch with my special guest a little bit later in the show, and also get a hold of his fabulous book. And of course, if you have any questions for me, StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com to follow up if we can't get to you on the air. Sometimes we have a lot of folks who are emailing with, you know, questions or personal issues going on, and we kind of want to get to the point and handle all your questions, but sometimes we can't quite get there. So just know that you can email me and my special guest. So I've talked about my therapy work a lot to you guys, and I don't, you know, mean to ad nauseum, you know, I always go on and tell you about couples who are having problems, you know. Romance is wonderful, isn't it? It's really, though, a small part of what makes a long-term relationship successful. It's all that wonderful honeymoon phase and the fluttery heart and all that. And, gee, wouldn't it be cool to have that forever? Well, maybe you can. I don't know. But it's a very small part of what makes a long-term relationship successful. See, it's getting the other 98% right that makes a couple last in the long haul. And I always say in our relationships that it seems that we don't have many days devoted to issues like communication or fighting fairly and forgiving, the big F words, right? So after all the effort it takes to get into a quality relationship, it may seem like the hard work is over once you start dating someone. But to me, a healthy relationship is like a living, breathing thing. It takes constant care, attention, to grow and thrive. And we do have to work on those things, but it can be fun. And it's also a journey for self-exploration. So for lasting happiness, we need to treat our relationships like a long-term project. Okay, we're gonna look at it that way today. And we try to encourage love and passion and working through problems as they arise. So finding and staying in healthy relationships requires self-introspection, at thinking about what you want and need in a relationship, and possible behavior changes that contribute to healthy relationships. You guys know about this. I've talked, you know, about it a lot. But this is not easy, of course. So let me ask you some questions, and we're going to be answering those questions with my special guest, who I'm going to introduce momentarily. Are you guys aware of what you really need from a romantic relationship? Really? Really? Do you want insight to make better decisions and to avoid relationship pitfalls? Now, are you guys able to see the patterns and trends of where your relationship is headed? Do you really know how well your most important needs are being met? And do you think it's time to consider ending a stormy relationship that won't improve or is getting worse? Or can you actually make it better? Well, today on the couch, we're going to find out, help you answer all these questions, hopefully, and make you think with my in-studio guest. His name is Michael Gabriel. You guys know who he is. You've seen him on the internet a lot. You've probably read about him and checked out his latest book. He's a successful media and technology executive, also a founding executive of the industry-transforming HBO Go project. Yeah. He has also been a senior executive leader for NBC, the NBA, and the EMI Records Group. Michael is also an inventor on 5 media and entertainment technology patents. How's that, guys? So he knows his stuff. He knows what he's talking about. And he's also the author of the book we're talking about today, entitled The Balanced Relationship Barometer, A Practical Approach to Achieve a Healthy and Fulfilling Love Relationship. And with all that, I shall be quiet now and introduce, hey, Michael Gabriel. So great to have you in the studio today.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle. Great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you come down in person. You know, a lot of my guests, we do a lot of phone interviews because there's folks, you know, all over the country and the world for that matter. So live studio guests creates a lot more energy and, you know, you can see what's coming in on the emails and so we can really help folks out.
Looking forward to it.
Good book. What a great book.
Thank you. I love
the way you laid things out and explained to people how they can sort of have what you call a balanced relationship barometer to monitor themselves and monitor their relationships, how they're doing. And so maybe just you can explain what is a balanced relationship barometer.
Sure. So it's both a book and it's a mobile app.
Yeah.
And after I wrote the book, I realized a lot of times you read self-help books,
yeah,
and then you put them down. You put them on the coffee table or in your bookcase, right, and you forget about them. And given my technology background, I realized I needed to have something that you can carry with you that could make the book come alive and take the practices and the guides that the book provides and use them in your life. So the barometer is, today we're looking at a storm coming into LA.
Yes, we are.
Just like that.
Thank goodness, right?
Yeah, there are atmospheric conditions that tell us that a storm is coming or not, sunny or stormy skies. So as I was looking at my relationship and talking to a lot of people, I realized, why can't we have indicators of whether our relationship is headed towards sunny skies or stormy skies? Mm-hmm. And if stormy, could we do something about it? Mm-hmm. And that's really how the inception of the barometer name came into play.
Mm, what a great idea.
It's an idea.
I like that analogy. I really do. I mean, a barometer. We always talk about certain barometers when it comes, you know, to scientific instrumentation. But also, you know, we discuss those things. Well, my barometer feels like. But nobody's ever, I think, really laid it out in terms of utilizing that concept and applying it to making better relationships. You know,
it just seemed to fit.
Yeah.
Everyone sort of knows sunny is good, sunny skies are great, and stormy is bad. Other than some people like stormy, and we're seeing that in some of the debates recently.
Yeah, we are. We were just talking about that, huh?
Yeah.
But
other than those examples, we're really looking for sunny, and it's something everyone can relate to.
It sure is. I think, and it's, you know, what I like is it's a comfortable read. It's not, you know, I got to get through this and very understandable concepts in here and a lot of self-help, by the way, at the end of each chapter and, you know, a lot of good information and great quotes that you have in there, by the way.
Thanks. That was really fun trying to find quotes that put things into a perspective from people we know and some people we don't know.
Well, that's true. Exactly. And you've named individuals, you know, superstars who've been around a long time to very spiritual, you know, gurus, yogis, folks like that. So good combination here. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Michael Gabriel. He's the author of a terrific new book. It's all about relationships. It's called The Balanced Relationship Barometer, A Practical Approach to Achieve a Healthy and Fulfilling Love Relationship. And if you guys have any questions or comments, feel free to email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you're brave, Dave, you want to get your voice on the air, go for it. But be ready. Because we'll get you. 323-203-0815 is the number to call here in Los Angeles. You know, I always like to ask authors about how, what motivated them to, you know, write a book. And, of course, we find out more about the individual, which is cool. So I really appreciated your being so candid about your 10-year relationship. And if you could talk a little bit more about that and how that led to your creating this book.
Yeah, it was really a tough time.
Yeah.
And anyone that's gone through a divorce, especially if you have a child, it's very difficult to go through. Hard to explain if you haven't. And as I was going through that, you think of yourself sometimes as a fairly intelligent person. Mm. And then you say, how could this have happened? Like, how could I go through this? How could you date someone and live with them and get engaged and get married and have a child? And realize not that far into that, that all of a sudden you're just... You're really not right for each other. It's not that anyone's wrong. You're just not right for each other. And you're not able to give each other the things that are going to make you happy on a long-term basis. How could that happen?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I started to reflect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And usually would reflect over a scotch and a cigar.
Yeah.
That always helped.
Well, yeah. That's a guy thing. I like that. Sit on the porch.
Absolutely.
I know about the porch thing.
It was on my porch. And I started just... taking down some thoughts as they mm-hmm. came to me mm-hmm. about what I loved about our relationship initially and what mm-hmm. I liked about it and aspects that I didn't like. And I tried to understand, were the things that I missed mm-hmm. that I just overlooked and maybe could have seen if I was a little more aware? Mm-hmm. Or were the things I did see that I just didn't pay attention to and hoped they would get better on their own?
Right.
And then little by little, I started taking down notes and it started forming something that I thought could be of use to others, especially my daughter, as she grew up.
Yes.
I really didn't want her to be in a similar situation.
True.
Mm-hmm. And little by little, a book was formed, and I ran it past a number of people to get their feedback. And they just liked that it was sincere and real and based on experience. And I said, why not? Why not try to get it published?
Mm-hmm. And I also like the fact that you're an inventor on the five media and entertainment technology patents. I mean, that's so helped your ability to lay out that whole concept of a romance or a relationship barometer. So mm-hmm. that I think that really added to your expertise in the book as well.
It did in my business background also. What this is really about is understanding what you're looking for, assessing how well you're getting it, and seeing where the disconnects are.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that in business all the time. And being a problem solver and ideally a problem avoider, mm-hmm. I didn't really apply that to my romantic life.
Mm-hmm.
I always applied it to my business life.
Right. Exactly. We do. I think so many times we focus more on our business and, of course, you know, financially surviving and how to go for it. Rather than our own relationships. And you and I were talking about before the show about how we just get complacent sometimes. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Why we stay? Why do we hang in there with some of these relationships? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how to determine what our relationship barometers show or are indicating. And by the way, we'll tell you how to get the free app, the barometer, so you can... figure out what's going on in your relationship and how you feel. So how does this innovative approach work? And, you know, how does this go? Tell me.
So it was really a bit of a journey because trying to get people to understand what they want isn't easy.
Yeah.
If you were to ask your audience now, mm-hmm. what do you really want for a relationship? And you mm-hmm. did earlier on. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to see what people come up with.
Mm-hmm.
But I found people got stuck. And if I were talking to them, and giving them examples, they all of a sudden would say, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. But even in just reading the book, it became hard. So in the book, I included a section in the back with a lot of attributes. They could be qualities,
right?
Values. I call them needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice short word, but it really comprises a lot of different things. And I tried to make it simple in terms of getting people to understand three different types of needs mm-hmm. that I thought really impacted a relationship. And it was validated by my conversations with a lot of different people, younger and older, male and female, married and single.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to stick. It seemed to apply. And it was really focused on three things we really look for in our life. The first is things that give us deep pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I call those the gotta haves.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you don't get them, you really feel deprived.
Right.
And over time, you feel more and more deprived.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. That really takes a lot of the excitement, the foundational value of your relationship out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the fun things.
Right.
Those are actually the things that you do when you first start dating.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just activities and events and little things you do that just add fun to your life.
Right.
But any one isn't critical. And I call those the like to have. You'd like to have them, but you might like someone who plays golf and tennis and sails, but maybe they don't have to do all of those. If they play tennis with you, that's fine.
No.
If they let you play golf, that's okay. But it's not foundational. It's just you need a mix of things to sort of spice up and make the relationship enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you get the big ones, the things that give you pain.
Right.
And those I call the gotta not haves.
Okay.
You gotta not have them.
Right.
And if you have them, you're really going to feel imposed upon.
Right.
You're really going to feel resentful. And those, more than anything, I think are the things that cause breakups in relationships.
Yes, yes.
So, no. So that's the way I really categorized it.
Right, right. That's a good idea.
In the app, I give you pick lists, and it's not every possible thing you can think of, but some of the main things that just start to get your mind going, and people can go through that and pick the ones that they want.
Right.
Unfortunately, I've seen most people are picking too many. It's like going to a buffet in a restaurant, and you wouldn't order all those things, but they're all there for you, so you pick a little of everything.
Right, exactly.
And that actually makes it hard, and I'll explain a little later on why that I don't think is the right way to do it. But it's not the end of the world. It's a self-adjusting kind of system. If you use it continuously, you'll start to see which needs really your needs that matter and which are things you think matter.
Right, right. No, that's a great idea. And some of those sample relationship barometer needs, just for you guys out there. And again, this is a great book because it has a lot of worksheets in it. And so you can read and get some good ideas. So, you know, sometimes we don't know ourselves. We can't really define what exactly we need or want sometimes. I mean, we have an idea, of course, but so we've numbed ourselves out for so long, you know, focusing on whatever, that we are just trying to hang in there and work and do our, you know, life, that we numb down or we defocus on these important things. So you offer some things such as relationship goals and lifestyle, spirituality, religion, politics, attraction, sexuality, sensuality, trust, honesty, and respect, the biggies, personality, values, and intelligence, exercise, hygiene, health, and habits. I mean, you guys are thinking to yourself, oh, yeah, that's right. We don't think about a lot of these serious details.
No, and they differ by person, clearly.
Right.
They differ by different times of your life.
Mm-hmm.
When you're younger, certain things might be more important to you.
Exactly.
Your life situation helps impact that. If you have a great job or a bad job, if you're having issues with your family or with your children, if you have them, all of that impacts you, and that affects your needs and the qualities you're looking for in your partner to help support you, to reinforce you, to provide balance.
Right, right. And you were talking about the relationship journey. So, and there are stages we go through, and I hate to be a downer sometimes, but I mean, right? Can you talk about some of those early stages into the more difficult stages?
Yeah.
Which don't have to be.
And you started talking about that earlier on in terms of the honeymoon phase. And I was on a radio, actually it was a TV talk show in the morning where they led into that, like what happens when the honeymoon phase is over. But you have that initial phase when you first meet someone, and usually it's deep passion. And you're not really looking necessarily for anything further, but it's the beginning of a relationship. And your hormones, the chemicals our bodies create, impact the way we think, impact the way we react. And that's an infatuation phase.
Right.
And if you're really fortunate, and we just saw that with Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan, that seemed to last forever for them.
I hear you.
But
isn't that amazing?
They're one in a million.
Yes, they are.
And it's great to see. And we strive for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they worked at it in ways we never even know.
Right. Exactly.
But they did.
Yep.
So you have that initial casual dating phase that starts with the infatuation and the fun things you do. And at some point, could be immediately, could be a little while after that, you get into more of a committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That has certain expectations to it on both sides. Right. And you also get into expectations of time
yep.
with each of these things. How long before you get into a committed relationship? How long from the time you get into a committed relationship until maybe you get a proposal? And you have different expectations.
Right.
If one is thinking, well, we've had a committed relationship for 2 years now. When is that when is that proposal coming?
Yes, exactly. I hear that a lot.
And that could be a gotta have.
Yes.
I don't want to be in a relationship forever
yes.
without a deeper commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other one might be saying, well, this is a great relationship. Let's keep it going the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you have differing needs. And if you don't recognize that, you're going to have resentment form.
Right.
And that's going to take away from the relationship. And the other person may not even know it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That and communication is the key here, obviously. We have a couple of emails coming in, but guys, we'll get to you in just a bit. As we're talking, they're sort of being applied to the subjects that we're bringing out here. You talk about how we continue to move forward with bad relationships rather than stopping. Maybe I should read this. This is perfect.
Sure.
Okay, this is from Sarah, and she said, "Hey, Doc. This is a great show. I've been in a relationship now for 3 years. We have great chemistry, have a lot of fun together, but sometimes my partner wavers on commitment. I'm in my 30s and I really want to get married. And I've been telling him this for a long time, but somehow he always avoids the subject. But we know we love each other. How can I encourage him to be more loving and committed to a marriage?" Good one, Sarah.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
And I'll leave part of that to the psychologist in the room,
okay.
But part of it is also to the process person in the room, which is me. And I'm not sure. I would have to say that there's something that he's looking for that he's not getting,
mm-hmm.
or there's something he's getting that causes him some concern.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
there's some reason. There
yes.
definitely is a reason. A fear he may have could be because of a prior relationship and
right.
a fear of commitment.
That's what I was going to suggest, yes.
And there's something there. And mm-hmm. getting to that, rather than having it be a mystery, mm-hmm. is really important because you're frustrated for good reasons. But how long is that going to go on?
Right.
How long until the frustration turns into resentment and anger, and then the relationship starts to fall apart? And
right.
if it goes too long, sometimes it's unrecoverable.
Yes, exactly. I agree with you 100%. So that, you know, Sarah, there, kind of think of that about that, because that could be your answer. You really have to go inside and like Michael said, decide what is your time frame? When are you going to realize that, you know, there may be something really seriously missing for him not to commit? And I'm not saying he's a bad guy at all. He may have a lot of fears. I don't know if you've sat down with a relationship expert or whatever, or, you know, explored these discussions with him. But, you know, maybe he has a fear of intimacy or a fear of commitment. Fear of intimacy is very different from having close sexual relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's about emotion. So you may want to just sort of see if he has some intimacy issues and what it might be about you. And maybe you could have a real sit-down, serious talk with him. A lot of people are afraid to say, "I'm not happy because," or some of the things you do, because they don't want to shake up,
mm-hmm.
you know, the status quo. And the good times are really good. So the bad times may not be too bad,
right.
but there's something holding him back. And you've already made it very clear, Sarah, that you'd like this relationship. So
yeah, I'd also recommend, because
yeah.
I've been on the wrong side of this sometimes, and, mm-hmm. and you experience it. It can't be an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And because you feel so good about the relationship, you want it to continue because it's good.
Right.
So that's the key. The key is you have so much love. You have so many good things in your relationship that you appreciate, that you recognize. You don't want it to come across as, why aren't you proposing, or why don't... That shouldn't be the first thing that you say. You need to lead into how good it is and why, and how you'd like it to be more, and maybe whether he has any concerns about that.
Yeah, great feedback. And we hope that helped you out a little bit, Sarah. Thank you so much for emailing us here. If you have a question or comment like Sarah, you could email us at straight talkdoc@gmail.com. We are talking about Michael Gabriel's latest book. He's my special in-studio guest today. It's The Balanced Relationship Barometer, a practical approach to achieve a healthy and fulfilling love relationship. So it's, you know, it's a free app that you can download, guys. It's a relationship barometer. And you can sort of guide your way through, as you read this book, to sort of figure out what you need, what you got to have, what you don't necessarily need to have, and the got to not have, which I really like. I love those, got to not have. Why do we hang around in relationships for so long that are bad for us?
I talk about that in the book, and I really thought about that a while. Part of it, and we joked about this before the show, I sort of said we're relationship zombies sometimes in some ways. We just walk around and we let the relationship happen to us, and we're wandering around without any particular goals, without any particular awareness. And it's easy to do that. It isn't successful, though, because a good, fulfilling relationship that lasts is worse odds than a coin toss. And we know that. Divorce is about a coin toss. And the people that don't get divorced, many of them are not happy in their relationships. They just let them continue. It's easy to continue on the path. I talk about Newton's law of inertia in the book. An object in motion continues in motion. And that happens a lot of times. We're in a relationship. We experience things together. I talk about emotional tethers, which are experiences that really tie to our heart. And they could be good. They could also be bad. But the good tethers really hold you together. And the longer you're together, the more experiences you have, the harder it is to leave that, because you remember the great times. And the great times are great to remember. But if it's not a great time right now, then you can't just live in the past, because you're not happy. And you need to be able to do something about it. And we talk about the grass is always greener syndrome. Always looks like it's going to be better. If I leave this person, you know, maybe we don't stay in the relationship, but we leave too early. And it goes both ways. You leave too early because you don't work on it. Or you stay too long because you just hope it'll get better. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Maybe you're afraid of being alone. Maybe you have financial issues and your partner is providing some degree of support. And maybe that scares you. There are a lot. It's really the fear of the unknown, the uncertainty of the future that I think drives and compels people to stay maybe longer than they should. And also the fear of confrontation.
That is. And you also talk about things that we should think about when questioning good or bad situations that will help us stay with or decide to leave our partners. You talk about emotional tethers. I really liked, you know, that concept, because we don't think about those things, really. We ignore those things.
We do. I actually was going to write a blog today. I think I'll do it maybe this afternoon or tomorrow. But it was going to be about how we've just lost the self-reflection. Remember in the older days, people had diaries. And the diaries weren't just a recording of events. People were putting their thoughts and their hopes, their dreams, their sorrows, their pains, and they would read them. They would go back and they would read them, and it was a time of reflection. And we have so many tools now to help record everything we do, but we've lost the reflection part. All we're doing is reflecting outward. We're not reflecting inward. And the tethers are the kinds of things that we should be paying attention to, because they affect us. They're experiences that make us feel good or bad. And that's what a relationship really is about. The balance of pleasure and fun versus pain. And hopefully you're maximizing the pleasure and fun, and you're minimizing the pain. And everyone's balance is different for that. But you know it when you feel it.
You can't really put your finger on it, but boy, when you start feeling it and those... Yeah, so true. Guys, if you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Michael Gabriel. He's the author of the book we're talking about. It's The Balanced Relationship Barometer, a practical approach to achieve a healthy and fulfilling love relationship. Now, you don't necessarily need to download the free app that he has for you to determine how your relationship is going and how you would just sort of see it through a barometer. You can also do the workbook stuff here, which is pretty comfortable to understand and I think easily explained. Mm-hmm. So it really helps you sort of figure out where you're going, or if even if you've had, you know, difficult relationships in the past and you don't sort of understand what happened, or you realize that that is no longer working for you, it helps you sort of really get into what do you want in the future. What is going to work for you, right, in the future?
Right, and mm-hmm. what's working for you now or not.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So even if you don't have a relationship and you're thinking about what you need to have, you know, we call them the deal breakers mm-hmm. in psychology, of course. You know, but so you guys, it's a really good idea. Let's just give the folks out there some information, if they're listening right now, where they can get your book and check you out, find out more about you, Michael.
Thank you.
The best way? Sure.
So the best way is my website, which is www.relationshipbarometer.com. Mm-hmm. And that has links to the app, which is available on Android and the Apple Store. Mm-hmm. It also has links to the ebook stores, Nook, iBooks, of course, Kindle, mm-hmm. print on demand through Kindle, if mm-hmm. you want a physical copy of it. And you can get to all of that there. I have some blogs that I just started creating over the last month or so there, mm-hmm. and some press clippings, so you can see some of the things that I've been on that all have different perspectives and may give someone some different insight.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great idea, folks. So check that out. And, you know, you can, the book's really a good read, very comfortable, and will help you out with your relationships or, you know, getting more into who you are. And you talk about the importance of self-reflection, Michael. What's so important about that?
It's really trying to understand what makes you feel good or bad, mm-hmm. and to really be aware of your experiences. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. people ask, if they use the app, like, well, what mm-hmm. should I check in? I call the diary entries check-ins. Mm-hmm. And right. you should check in anything that makes you feel good or bad mm-hmm. about your relationship.
Right.
It may not even be something that your partner is doing. It might be something they're not doing. Or it might just be a feeling you have
yep.
that is supporting one of your needs or not. And as you start to become more aware and you start to record the things that are affecting you, you start to really learn about what matters. And I have an example. I'm not sure if this one's in the book, but I think it is, where there was a time I went to Napa uh-huh. and I really got into red wine. And I started dating someone a short mm-hmm. while after that.
Yeah.
And initially, I found out she really couldn't drink red wine. It affected her badly.
Sure.
So she drank white wine. Mm-hmm. And she also said she didn't eat meat. And I don't eat meat all the time, but mm-hmm. I like a steak every now and then.
Okay.
And I was thinking, wow, like no red wine and steak. And if I go to a restaurant and I want to get a nice bottle of red right. wine, I have to get a glass, which usually isn't the better types of wine. And I thought that those were gotta have. Like, oh, I gotta have someone who could eat steak and have red wine so we can enjoy that together.
Right.
And as we started dating, I started drinking a little more white wine.
Right.
And she didn't mind if I drank red. But
right.
I started playing around with that. It may seem very shallow in some ways, but I actually felt that it was a need of mine. And then I found out over not too long a period of time, that wasn't a gotta have, that was a like to have.
Yes.
And it really didn't matter that much.
Right.
Other qualities mattered more in my relationship, but to someone that might have made a big difference and it might have been a deal breaker for them.
Sure.
And it might be the other way around too. Someone might be vegan and they really are uncomfortable if someone's eating
yes.
meat or eating veal or something
That's a big gotta not have
yeah,
for some people.
It really can
so,
be. And,
exactly.
and there's nothing wrong with that being your gotta not have.
Yeah.
Recognize it though, because if you don't, and you just tolerate it, but it's making you feel uncomfortable, that's probably not going to get better over time. And mm-hmm. and you'll get a chance to see that, too. If every time that happens and you record it and you're aware, you'll see, you know what? It's not bothering me as much as I thought, or it's actually bothering me more than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. something that is going to need to be adjusted, or the relationship may need to end.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, that's really well put. And she knows all about the good stuff with, what is it, resveratrol or something in the red wine?
Right? Yes.
Right.
Keeps us young.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And you know, it's good for our heart and all that good stuff. So, I mean, anyway, no, those are deal breakers, though, for some people. Like we said, I have, you know, patients who come in and they're strong serious people about being, you know, they're vegans, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they say, I am trying to find someone online. I've been dating vegans only, and these people lie. And they get all these funny stories. But I mean, it's for some people, they think, eh, it's not a big deal. But, you know, you really got to take some of these things into account is what you're willing to let go, what you're willing to open up to.
Truly. And that awareness affects different people in different mm-hmm. ways. I have two quick examples that were provided to me through some of our focus groups as they mm-hmm. were using the principles in the book. And one was a woman who had been married for over 10 years, and mm-hmm. she was in a good relationship, and she felt it was a good relationship. And I was a little concerned about the feedback she gave when she said, I thought I was in a good relationship. I thought the shoe was going to drop on that. Oh, no,
yes.
I destroyed a
yes.
relationship.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, yeah.
But actually, she said, I thought I was in a good relationship, but after using the app and being more aware, I found that I was in a great relationship.
Wow.
Because I wasn't acknowledging
yes.
all the good things that my partner was doing for me. I was
right.
just taking them for granted. And when I became more aware, I felt even better about my relationship.
That's wonderful.
And that was a great story.
It is a great story.
And then on the other side, there was a woman in a similar relationship, mm-hmm. but it was a bad relationship.
Mm.
And she started using the app and becoming aware of the things that were making her not feel good mm-hmm. about the relationship. And she says, mm-hmm. you know, thank you, because I didn't really know what to target. I didn't
right.
really know what was causing me to feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. about things. Now I know what to focus on,
mm-hmm.
and now I can try to see if I can make corrections working with my partner.
Mm-hmm. What a great answer. It's true. You know, it's funny because one of my favorite things to do in couples therapy when people come in to see me is we don't start out about the complaints. What's the problem? What are you... You know, we say, what do you so appreciate about your partner? We start off with the positives.
Beautiful.
It just sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the positives that are in your... Look at what this person has contributed to your life or what you've learned from this person to make you a better person. Let's look at the positives. And also another thing, too, is gauge some of the difficult times you've been through together. Storms, right?
Right.
How have you weathered those storms together? And, you know, when there are certain real critical things happening in our lives, whatever they may be, we have deaths in the family, you know, we have illness, serious illness, you know, and all the major biggies, financial issues, moving, all the children,
mm-hmm.
chaotic situations, you know, we just have to know how to deal with those things. And those things can either make it or break it. It's how we deal with the trauma in our relationships that really makes it a good relationship. Some people just fall apart. They don't want to deal with it, and they can't. They just go, end up apart.
That's really a great point, because
thanks.
How people deal with adversity, I found, at least for me, is one of the most important things.
Mm-hmm.
Life isn't always going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to happen. Health issues, financial
mm-hmm.
issues.
Yep.
Things we just can't even expect. And over time, you get to find out how people deal with those things.
Yeah.
Are they there to support you?
Mm-hmm.
Are they there to just listen if that's what you want?
Yes.
But you really need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything is great, especially in that early relationship, you can't see that early on. You only see that over some amount of
right.
time.
Right, exactly. We have a quick email here on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Some of them are coming in, and they're applying to what we're talking about, so shall I just kind of put it out there? And
mm-hmm.
this is from Jared, and he says, hey, Doc, I've been married now for 10 years. My wife is extremely successful. I have a pretty good job, but she's also the major breadwinner. I really appreciate and respect her, but it seems that she's staying out much later than usual after work. She also has seemed to disconnect from me. I don't know how to talk to her because we never really got into deep discussions. We have great sex and have a lot of fun together, but now it seems we're moving apart. What do you think I should do? Thank you so much, Jared. I appreciate that one. Wow. That was brave of you.
Yeah, that really
thanks
is.
For reaching out on the show. Well, I'm sorry, Michael, I'm going to throw this one in your lap. No, but I'll help too.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
So, not to make light of it,
yeah.
really, because this really is,
no,
really is
no,
important.
No, absolutely.
And I feel for you, Jared. So, I would say, first of all, seeing how often that happens, like I hear it happens a lot. Yeah. I don't know whether a lot is once a week or a lot is six times a week. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of general words sometimes could cause friction, because when you do talk about it, and hopefully you will, you need to have some clarity on what that is. And the main thing that I'm hearing is you just want to be with her more.
Right.
You really enjoy being with her.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, and that's a very good thing. But you've started to see that she's working later, and maybe she has work responsibilities. Maybe something else is going on that you're unaware of, and you're just guessing. You don't know what it could be.
Right,
of course, you're thinking the worst.
Sure.
Because in the lack of, with the lack of knowledge, that's normally the way our minds work. And that's not good.
Nope.
Because that could really pollute a relationship.
Sure.
And I really think it's about just having a talk with her in a non-confrontational way about how much you enjoy the time together, but that it seems like it's been less recently. And you understand she has things that may be pulling her, but you also would love to have more time with her, and just to maybe talk about why that might be happening.
Right,
and,
right.
And get away from the guesswork and more into the conversational.
That's just about what I was going to say. I mean, you nailed it. I think you did a, you know, a perfect job of helping him out. So, you know, hopefully, Jared, you know, that, that really helped you out. And I think, I always encourage people to sit down with someone who's a specialist. Sometimes it's easier to express your worries or fears in front of an objective party with your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, your mate, your partner in life. So, you know, I encourage you to do that maybe. And again, be open about not criticizing, not being angry, not, you know, just say, I feel, you know, all those I statements I tell you guys about, not you are this, or no name calling, that's a no-no. But the I statements, I'm feeling a little lonely because I miss you so much. You're so working hard, and I appreciate you and love you, but what can we do to spend more time together? And or is there something that I'm doing that's pulling you away, that's causing you to, you know, be away from me a little bit longer? And I really will work on something if there really is something that's bothering you that I'm doing. Be willing to work on it. Don't defend and, well, you. And it's not a contest either. That's a biggie that you talk about, too. It's not a, life and relationships. It's not a contest. Well, you did this. Well, you did that. Well, I did this. You know, it's about, owning stuff. You know what? I messed up, and I'm going to try in the future to do this. And being honest with each other. That's another point, too, is kind of trying to work on ourselves before we get into deeper relationships, which is difficult sometimes because we fall in love and it's all great. But, you know, trying to work on our own defense mechanisms, our old triggers that, you know, to some other people wouldn't trigger anger or make them defensive, but we have our own issues or low self-esteem or whatever it may be. Our partner may say something that's really benign, but we interpret it more painfully and like it's a put down or something. So,
and I also know that there are times you just don't say things back to your partner that are supportive and reinforcing of the good things they do. You take it for granted, and you don't realize you're taking it for granted, but then over time they start to feel neglected, and you do appreciate them, they just don't know it.
No, so, it's true.
So I would also just think about whether you are showing that appreciation for the things you do together that you love, and you may think you don't need to, and maybe you don't always have to, but maybe that's something that's missing that you feel, but she just doesn't know it.
And
maybe that's created a little distance. It's hard to tell, but it's all about conversation. It's not about finding faults.
That's right.
But it's also not about ignoring issues.
Sure.
And things that are making us feel lonely or uncomfortable or giving us some pain.
Exactly.
Which usually is not intentional.
That's exactly right. I always suggest that people have survival techniques, you know, in our, you know, early environment, whatever they may be, you know, growing up, we have roles in households that we play, or, you know, we have survival personalities that, that we have in order to function in an abusive environment or a strange environment, or someone's emotionally unavailable for you. And, you know, every sibling is different. We all have our own ways of surviving. And then we carry on those patterns into our adult life. in order to survive. And some of those patterns aren't the healthiest, especially when we start to get into relationships. And then what we do is we project some of that fear and those patterns onto our partners, and they're clueless. They go, huh? What? You know, where'd this come from? So that's something else. And that goes along with your self-reflection,
right.
Part of the book. By the way. So, okay, so we've identified our needs. We're using the barometer, either on the app, okay, and or in your book. We're writing down our needs. And you say we should do an assessment of how often that need is being met. So you talk about the yes/no type of needs and the matter of degree or the frequency question. So what's that all about?
That was really a tough one as I was going through the book and talking to people about trying to understand how well that need was being met. And in some cases, the questions were very clear. It's either a yes or a no. Mm-hmm. So if, for instance, I felt a guy to have was someone who was a blonde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you're either a blonde or you're not a blonde.
That's right.
It's a yes or it's a no.
Right.
Or if someone has a certain religion.
Mm-hmm.
Or if someone is of a certain political persuasion, Republican,
sure.
Or you're either one or the other.
Right.
So some of the answers are yes, no, and some could actually be borderline. Like it could be that we have great lovemaking together.
Right.
It could be no, never.
Right.
It could be yes, always. But it could also be something in the middle. That's a matter of degree.
Okay.
And I found if things are more qualities or characteristics, they're probably more yes, no, but not always. Life isn't always black and white.
Right.
So I try to show those two extremes as no, never,
right.
Yes, always, but it could also be something in the middle. And initially, that assessment, it's not about being perfect.
Right. You know, I was going to say that.
Yeah. It's really just seeing, is this on the really good side or is it on the not so good side? And to what degree?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we experimented with numbers and we now use the weather symbols. Of
right?
sunny being the best and tornado being the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have various degrees of weather in the
right.
middle. I only use 7 that sort of gives some choice, but it's really trying to get it into a kind of zone. Whether it's fully sunny or partly sunny doesn't matter that much.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a thunderstorm or a tornado doesn't matter that much. It's not good.
Exactly. No, it's true.
So it's really looking at it that way, not just trying to fit everything into a perfect container,
right?
And overall seeing for the things you can identify
right.
how well you feel they're being met or not,
mm-hmm.
and then seeing over time whether your experiences reinforce that need
right.
or whether they contradict that need.
No, really well said, Michael. You know, I think a lot of people, and okay, I don't know. I like to blame a lot of things on social media these days. But, I mean, I think a lot of people are looking for perfection. It's the black or the white. And because of how things are portrayed, you have to be perfect. You have to look perfect. You have to act, you know, and relationships have to be perfect. And I find a lot of really picky people in my practice. That's a lot of alliteration there. But there really are folks who just, oh, nope, can't do that. You know, it's, and so, I mean, do you agree that people have to get to that sort of middle place, the balance? That's more of a healthy place to be.
Yeah. Absolutely. And again, it really sometimes matters to what degree. So if you had 3 gotta-haves and 2 were fully fulfilled and 1 was not fulfilled at all, you know, that's not as good as if you had 6 gotta-haves and 1 out of 6 weren't fulfilled.
Yes, exactly.
So it's a matter of how many things really matter to you. And it's not gaming the system either, because
right.
people could go in and say, oh, let me add this whole bunch of gotta-haves to make my forecast look sunny because all these things are happening. So I want to tilt it. And
yes.
if you want to game the system, you could.
Yeah.
But that's not going to actually
right.
give you a proper result.
Exactly.
It's cheating.
No, it is cheating. Exactly.
And it was funny. Yeah. A friend of mine said, he actually put a gotta not have in for his wife, gotta not have smoking.
Okay.
And he was talking to me and he said, I'm not sure why I put that in because she doesn't smoke. So it's not like she smokes and I don't want her to smoke.
Right.
So I said, yeah, get that out.
Because
that's just polluting it. It's not really relevant to your situation now.
Right.
Maybe if you were starting to date someone and you didn't know and you said, this is my list of things I'm looking for and not looking for.
Yeah.
And then as you start experiencing the relationship, you see, okay, you know, he or she is not a smoker, or they're not a vegan, or they're not a meat, whatever.
Right.
Then you could say, well, this really doesn't matter for this relationship. Let me remove it.
Exactly.
And it's going to give you a better indication of how your current relationship is meeting your needs. Mm-hmm. But it's also not saying that you change your needs for each relationship.
Right.
Your needs are your needs.
That's right.
And it's really just saying don't load the deck with things that don't matter right now. Don't pick everything from the list, because if you looked at it, you'd say, of course I got to have every one of these things.
That's
and
right.
Of course I got to not have, because they're all bad things, but they don't really apply to you and your situation.
Right. Exactly. Well said. We're just about out of time already, Michael. Wow.
Time flies.
Yeah, I do. Thank you so much for being on the show here on
Thank
the couch.
Thank you so much.
And by the way, if you want to pick up the book, what's the best way to find out more about you and get the book?
It is going to the website, www.relationshipbarometer.com. Also have a Facebook page, Relationship Barometer, and a Twitter site, BR Barometer.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter's tough. They give you short handles.
Yeah, they do. But you can find it very easily, and it's a really good book, folks. Help you out with your relationship. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Such a pleasure meeting you. Great having you in the studio live here. By the way, Michael Gabriel, successful media and technology executive, has done so much in the industry, transforming HBO Geo Project, or Go Project, senior executive leader for NBC, the NBA, and the EMI Records Group, and of course, an inventor on five media and entertainment technology patents. The guy knows what he's doing, knows what he's talking about. So check out this great balanced relationship barometer to get your relationship and yourself more in balance, folks. Thanks so much for being on the couch. And thanks, as always, for listening. All right, next week we're going to talk about balance. We're going to talk about really looking into yourself and trying to improve your relationships with other people, not necessarily romantic relationships, but, you know, how you can just improve your self-esteem so you can be good with others. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others, because that's the way it works in the world. It's not a narcissistic thing, guys. Thanks for listening. Stay on the couch and have a great day. This is Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye now.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing